Everybody out this evening. Thank you so much for being here. I want to encourage you and invite you to follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss in the sermon tonight. I've entitled the sermon tonight, a question that I think I probably hear during the week more than any other question. And I think it's one, at least outside of the house, that I ask more often than any other question. And most of it is because of this assembly. Did you have a good day? We ask one another that multiple times when we come into the building. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't really know why this question was on my mind this past week, besides just having heard it a bunch, Wednesday evening in particular. But I've been thinking about it. Did you have a good day? And whenever I'm asked that question, there are a number of things that tend to automatically go through my mind that will allow me to say, yeah, I did have a good day. And I think about those times I ask you or I hear you asked, and how you respond to that question that indicates you think these things lead to a good day. What makes a day good? Well, it was an easy day at work, right? It was a profitable day. That makes a day good. Everybody likes those days when you go to the mailbox and there's not a bill in sight. That's a good day. We have a lot of people here. Back of the bulletin shows it. The announcements every week show it. We have a number of people here who are dealing with various doctors because of ailments, because of surgeries, sicknesses, diseases. Whenever you're able to go to the doctor and you get a good report back, that's a good day. It might surprise you to know how many times I have asked you if you've had a good day. And after responding yes, you talk about what you had for dinner. We love food, don't we? And when you're able to have a favorite food, boy, that was a good day. Maybe you get to go out and you get to see a family member you haven't seen in a long time. Brother Chris just came back from a trip to Texas and he was able to see family he hadn't been able to see in a while. There's just something really good about that. It's a good day. Very seasonal sort of thing. Maybe the politician you wanted to win was elected. Can make it a good day. It's easy to go vice versa on that as well, isn't it? But these are the sort of things, when I am asked, did you have a good day? This is the sort of thing I'm thinking about when I respond. And based upon your responses, I know these are the sort of things you tend to be thinking about. But I want to ask another question here. Is it possible that a bad day can really be good? A bad day meaning that what we just looked at that previous list, the things that we wanted to have happen in the day didn't happen. The things that we didn't want to happen did happen. Is it possible to have one of those bad days and yet really, in the end, it was good? Now, the second question up there as well, a good day, can it really be bad? That's not so much the direction we're going to go in the sermon this evening, but if the first one is true, then the second one would have to be as well. What I want us to do tonight is ask three different questions from a very different perspective than what we saw on that list of things that tend to make a day good. I'm interested in your response to this first one. Now, with everybody wearing a mask, I can't really see what your response is. But I'm interested in what you would think about this. Was I kind and courteous today? Now, I would imagine there's a lot of people who, upon seeing that, would just instantly roll their eyes. Okay, Was I kind? Was I courteous today? Maybe it's a nice thing to be that. But if I had a bad day, that doesn't make it good. Was I kind? Was I courteous? What's that have to do with anything if I had a bad day? And I'll tell you something. I don't believe there's any Christian who would say, who would verbalize, kindness and courtesy really aren't that big a deal. I don't think any Christian would actually say that. But we, and I'm using we in a very broad term, beloved, we demonstrate every single day, particularly on social media, we do not value these things. We do not value them at all. And if they are important in some sense, they're important in a lesser sense. But I want us to understand this. These are not the lesser concerns of the Christian life. Not by a long shot. A couple of passages to think about. Over in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, listen to what Paul says to Timothy. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. And we know that Timothy was an evangelist, and Paul is speaking to him in that sense. But are you a servant of the Lord? Yes, you are, if you're a Christian. Listen to what he said. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. That's an all-encompassing statement. And over in Titus chapter 3, the first two verses, we read this. Remind them. Now, this is Paul writing to Titus. You remind the Christians there in Crete. That's what he's saying. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and notice, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, if we look at this list here, everything that Paul said, and if we somehow conclude, even if we wouldn't state it, but we demonstrate it in our actions, if we somehow come to the conclusion that the courtesy portion of this is the lesser things, the small stuff, then we have missed the boat, because it absolutely is not. I want to set something forth here for you to think about. I want you to think about the kindness of God. It's a really interesting statement. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, in the first part of verse 5. Now listen to this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. You remove from that statement, you just take loving kindness out. And do you know what also vanishes? He saved us. You remove kindness, you remove our salvation. That's how serious a thing this is to our God. He is kind. And if He weren't, we would be without hope. But He is. And because God is kind, and that is part of what moved Him to seek our salvation, He values kindness exceedingly highly within His people. As we were studying some of the prayers in the Old Testament, the one we looked at before this week or this morning we talked about Jonah. Last week, we were talking about prayers that God won't hear. We were considering Isaiah chapter 1. And we had occasion during the course of that discussion to notice one of the most important statements that we have from God as He inspired His prophet, given to His people. It's found over in Micah 6. Now, the first part of verse 6 says this, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Verse 8 gives us the answer. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? That's a big word, require. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with or before your God? Now, that love kindness does not mean I love kindness when it's directed towards me. And that's really the extent of it. But as far as it being something I value, a virtue that I pursue, no, it's not really that big a thing in my life. It must be a big thing in our lives. It must be. We are blessed beyond defining when we consider what our God has done for us, when we consider the loving kindness that He continues to bless us with every single day and the things that He has given us. But we have to understand this, beloved. When it comes to the kindness of God, we are not designed to be repositories. We are designed to be channels, meaning it comes in and it is given right back out. That's what it means to love kindness, extending it, spreading it, just as God extends and it spreads it upon us. And you may have a really crummy day. Work was hard. You don't feel like much was productive. Maybe it wasn't a very good message from the doctor. Maybe the mailbox was filled with bills. Just a bad day. But if you met that day with kindness and with courtesy, while it may not be valued or respected much at all from the people around you, know this, it can make your bad day good. At least in the eyes of God. And when it comes to the condition of your soul. Did you have a good day? Were you kind? Were you courteous? Did you have a good day? Well, do you walk with integrity today? When I'm talking about integrity, I'm talking about a holy, sanctified integrity, an integrity that comes specifically from one's own trust and loyalty in God. And it will manifest like this. It will manifest in honesty of heart, in uprightness of heart. It will manifest in an individual that others know can be counted upon, a solid person. I think about when God was coming to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around it. And He was going to explain what exactly was going to happen to His servant Abraham. And He tells us, it is left for history, left for us to know at least in part why God thought to Himself, yeah, I'm going to confide in Him and I'm even going to make it so that we can have a conversation about this. This is what He said about Abraham. I chose him and he will instruct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has promised him. That means God looked upon Abraham and He concluded, I can count on this man. Now, no, he's not perfect. We have a record of Abraham. We know that he stumbled from time to time. He was not perfect, but he was solid. He was a godly man. And God knew in me, putting my trust in Him, I have done something that I can feel good about. I have entered into a relationship with someone that I can have confidence in. That's integrity. It's what He had. I'll tell you something, integrity is able to hold up in the worst of days. Like a Job. You know, Job's wife lost everything that he lost. She went through everything that he went through, with the exception of the wounds upon the body. We don't have any indication that she had to experience that. But we're looking at a woman who has lost a great deal of her wealth, who has lost many of the servants, who has lost, worst of all, she just lost her children. All in one fell swoop. And she tapped out. She'd gone as far as she was willing to go. She was done with God. She was done with the whole situation. We have her go to her husband, who is sitting there in mourning and in agony, emotionally and physically. This is what we read. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." What a statement. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips." He just faced the worst day you can imagine a human being facing. And this integrity, based upon his trust in God, even when he had no idea why what was happening was happening. Based upon his confidence in God, even when God was acting or at least allowing something that Job could not make any sense of. That holy, sanctified integrity caused him, moored him, anchored him. So that even in the midst of that, he maintained it. And that is absolutely extraordinary. And God rejoices when his children's integrity stands firm, even in those bad days. So, let's talk about those bad days. We all have them. We're going to have them again. Moving forward, sometimes that bad day won't be much more than a minor irritation or frustration. Sometimes it's going to be a lot bigger than that. Can we be counted on in those days? If we're blessed with a family, spouse, and children who count upon us, can they count upon us in those days? Knowing that as bad as it has gotten for Adam or for anyone on this day, he's going to lead the family the way that he's supposed to lead it. He's going to trust God even in the midst of this thing. He's going to hold fast to his faith even when there seems to be every reason for letting it go. And he's going to set a positive example even as this is happening. You see, beloved, if we have to have perfect conditions or even really good conditions to hold fast our integrity, then we have to question whether or not we truly have it to begin with. Because this holy, sanctified integrity, oh, it will suffer its wounds. And it will be battered and bloodied sometimes. But God rejoices when it bears up. And even in the midst of it, the midst of the bad day, both he and people can have faith in that saint. I think of what's said in Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." So, did you have a good day? Maybe not. Maybe when you left this morning and you went out and you went back home, maybe you got some bad news. Maybe something broke down at the house. Maybe the car is making a weird noise. You know, you're going to be at the shop here soon. Maybe something even more severe than something like that. Did you have a good day? Did you maintain your integrity? Could you be counted on to do what is right, even when it's hard to do it? Because if the answer to your first part there is no, didn't really have a good day, a lot of those bad things happened. Even if that's true, as far as God's concerned, it was a good day. And your soul prospered. One more question. Was I vigilant today? I think we all know in those bad days, those days where we're irritable and we're frustrated, maybe we're angry. In those days when we're going through emotional or physical pain, or we're just weary. Those are the days where we potentially become the easiest targets for Satan. It's interesting to me how Peter describes him, a well-known verse. He says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." He uses lion there. He could have used any number of descriptions, but he uses lion there. When you do research and maybe you watch some of those shows, and you notice how lions hunt. They always look for that one animal that they can pull out of the herd. That animal that's already hurt. Maybe it's limping a little bit. That animal that's just really tired and already weak, that's the one they single out. That's the one they go after. That's the one they're going to catch. When we're in those positions where we've had those days and we're tired and we're weary and we're weak, rest assured there is a massive target upon us in those times. And the adversary is coming then even harder than he would come before. But I want you to think about something. It's during those days when we must focus upon guarding our hearts even more than we do in other times. Let's face it, are there not days, and you don't have to pretend, we can be completely honest because God knows our hearts. Do you not have days, really hard days, really bad days, and you're just frustrated and you're discouraged and you're angry and you don't feel like praying? You don't feel like taking that to God. You're just not in the mood for it. There are times, beloved, we just have to make ourselves do it. We just have to force ourselves to do it. And as that happens, we develop habits. We get to the point where it doesn't require a good day, an easy day, for us to think about God and spend time in prayer and spend time in meditation. It's even on those days where the inclination is not to do that. We're still going to do it because we've trained ourselves to. And it's those times when we are least inclined to do it where we most need to do it. The verses that surround 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 are these. 6 and 7 says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Moving to verse 9, of course, verse 8 described our adversary there as a lion. "Resist him," he's talking about the devil, "firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced throughout the world." He actually says, by your brotherhood there, throughout the world. When we don't want to do it, we must do it. Those times when we begin to feel furthest from God is the times when we must sprint back to Him. Because the adversary is certainly sprinting towards us. And we don't want to be found easy prey. I actually find something very encouraging in verse 9 there. You know, the fact that brethren throughout the world from all times have experienced the same sort of sufferings and frustrations and discouragements that we face today is no guarantee that we're going to be willing to overcome them. But to know that they are common to man, and to know that brethren throughout the ages, and to know that Jesus knows what it's like to have a bad day, there's something encouraging in that. It's a reminder that we're not alone. This really is a brotherhood. And even the one who makes our salvation possible, he knows what it's like. Was I vigilant today? So, let me ask you again. Did you have a good day? I hope the very first list that we looked at, I hope all of that stuff was true of you. I hope you got everything on that list that you could want. And I hope that makes it a good day for you. But if you didn't, here's something that is absolutely extraordinary, and it's such a tremendous blessing. Even our bad days can be wonderful for our souls when we meet them with kindness, with courtesy, with integrity, and with vigilance. And we can mark that down. We can take it to the bank, as my dad used to like to say, because that's our God's promise. He values those things. Even if no one else does, he values those things. And if we met our day that way, it doesn't matter how bad it was on the outside, on the inside, the soul prospered. And when that's the conclusion of a day, there couldn't possibly be a better one. So, when you ask, did you have a good day? And when you are asked, did you have a good day? Maybe let's think a little more about the answer and the things that make for such days than we might typically be inclined to do. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you have the opportunity now to become that if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and be immersed in water, having your sins washed clean, putting Him on there in the waters of baptism, then you can enter into that relationship right now, and in just a few moments, heaven will be rejoicing over you. What a wonderful thought that is. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.